We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin on a Friday on the Team 980. Ben standing in 20 minutes. His thoughts on the Terry McLaurin contract coming up then. It was a big week in college football. SEC Media Day, a four-day event because the SEC does nothing small. Lots of conversation about the college football playoff and what it's going to look like for years to come. Guy that was there is the mighty Rob Brown. He's the host of the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate in the great state of South Carolina. You can also see him on the weekends on the BetMGM Network with Cody Decker from 12 to 4. And he joins me now here on the Team 980. Rob, my friend, always great to catch up. How was SEC Media Days when you were out there?
I mean, not as good as sharing the airways with Denton Day, but it was like a solid second place to that, buddy. It was good. It was interesting. Like, this was, and I kind of had this thought on Monday because the predominant conversation was football. It was quarterbacks. It was, returning experience. It was young guys. It was coaches. It was strategies. It was results and records and championships. And it kind of felt like for the first year since dating back to 2020, we had the pandemic. We had NIL. We had conference expansion. We had the transfer portal. We had conference realignment. We had this, that, and the other. This felt like the first media day where we were talking about football. And just as a football guy, I find all the business side of it. I'm one of those, 17 people in America that's super weird and fascinated by the business angle of the sport. But as a football guy, it was the first media days that we've done since 2020 that it really felt like it was predominantly about football, football players, football coaches, and football teams. And that was very nice and refreshing. Also, I've been called many adjectives, but that's the first time I've been called mighty. Thank you for inflating the ego, buddy.
That's what I'm here to do. Who felt like the big dog when you were walking around Atlanta?
Big dog is a fun euphemism to use because it was Georgia and Texas were the two teams that, pretty much consensus, everybody had them 1 and 2, either Texas first or Georgia first, but those two 1 and 2, and those were the answers. But I will tell you what I think was another interesting angle of this. This is maybe the most interesting class of quarterbacks as a conference top to bottom that this conference has ever had, because there are a lot of them that could be bona fide superstars and a lot of them that it feels like these programs are kind of hinging their entire season on. And yet we have questions about all of them. And I am starting all the way with Arch Manning at Texas. Steve Spurrier 2 weeks ago asked the question, if this cat is transform a program good, how did he not beat out Quinn Ewers as the number one quarterback last year? And I thought it was a fair question. Gunnar Stockton at Georgia, one of the most highly touted quarterback recruits in a very long time. But we haven't really heard anything about the kid since he got to college other than transfer portal kind of stuff. Is Gunnar Stockton good enough to step into the shoes of Carson Beck and lead Georgia, Florida, DJ Lagway? We know he's incredibly impressive athletically. Does he have it in him to guide the offense for a full season and be electric for a full season? Question mark. South Carolina, Lenora Sellers, probably one of the few proven commodities in the SEC at quarterback. But the question was, how much higher can he elevate? Can he take this team, which on paper looks like more like a 7-5 team than a 10-2 or 9-3 team? But is Lenora Sellers able to Cam Newton, Tim Tebow his way to bullying that team to be 10-2, 11-1, backdooring in? You've got all John Mateer at Oklahoma. Same questions, right? Like, this is a super interesting class of quarterbacks in that there could be 7, 8, 9 of them that are bona fide stars, and yet every one of them could also be not that and ruin the hopes and dreams of many a college football fan across the conference. So because of that, Georgia and Texas were the top dogs in terms of teams that had their coaches and players being followed around. But every time that a John Mateer or an Arch Manning or a Lenore Sellers or a Gunnar Stockton walked past me, they were just being followed by a gaggle of people trying to talk and ask questions and all that. And I think that is because the narrative in this conference this year is which quarterbacks are going to live up to the hype, and are there any that could guide a maybe second-tier program ahead of a Texas or a Georgia because they did indeed find a star.
Talking with Rob Brown, he was at SEC Media Days. He hosts a Rob Brown show on the Fan upstate in South Carolina. Was the Arch Manning experience as big of a deal as it seemed to be on social media?
Here's what I will say about Arch Manning, and I want to give him credit first, because there was a spot during Media Days that there was a group of us doing kind of an open Q&A with him, and somebody asked him about the hype, right? Like, Arch Manning, let's be real, is being talked about differently than every other quarterback in America right now. He's the shortest odds to win the Heisman Trophy. The most people down here are basically saying, if Arch is a star, Texas wins the national championship, yada, yada, yada. And so one of the folks that was there asked Arch Manning, talk to me about the hype. What is your opinion on the hype? People are saying you're a Heisman favorite, that you can lead Texas to a title. Do you feel the pressure? And Arch Manning, to his credit, who, by the way, is absolutely a Manning, right? Like, my dude showed, all these other guys are showing up in tailored custom suits. My dude showed up in a pair of like Old Navy khakis, a blue blazer, and a white shirt, like the standard freshman frat boy uniform of choice. Just like everybody else was the chains and the rings and the bling. Arch just looked like, if you didn't know who Arch Manning was and you walked past him, you'd think he was like a high school intern that was working the event, right? But reporter asked him about the pressure and the hype, and his answer, point blank, without a moment of hesitation, was, yeah, I mean, I get it and I appreciate it, but I played two games, guys. Like, I don't know why I'm having all of this piled on me. Sure, I'm going to do my best to live up to it. I know that a lot of people are counting on me. I'm going to do all I can to live up to it. I have played two games. This is my first year as QB1. Like, he was kind of trying almost to maybe lighten up the conversation that Arch is Texas and Texas is Arch. But he was very gracious and humble in the way that he attacked it. And I'm one of the guys that has a lot of questions about Arch Manning and if in his first year as QB1, can he live up to that? But as far as being the guy, like, he was the player of every player at this event that was hounded the most, that had the biggest flock of people following him around, handled it like a pro. Now, he also has the benefit, obviously, of being able to talk to a grandfather, a father, and an uncle who obviously all at different points in their career were also highlight players and kind of get their advice, but handled everything like a pro, never really seemed to buckle under the pressure, was well-spoken, seemed like a guy who had his bleep together. And now it's just, I think he basically quashed that conversation that, okay, like, we know what the questions are. He knows the pressure that's on him. Let's get to August 31st and let's play some damn football.
Rob Brown with me here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin. You mentioned Lenore Sellers. I loved Lenore Sellers last season. I think a lot of people started to fall in love with South Carolina towards the end of the season. Was there a little bit of a renewed confidence with South Carolina that you guys haven't seen lately?
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Yes, there is. Now, with that being said, Shane Beamer also specifically pointed out that that team still views themselves as underdogs in the conference. He thinks they are still viewed as underdogs in the conference. And I don't think that that is particularly unfair. They had a great year last year. They were one win away from being in the playoffs. If you go back and you change the result of the loss to Alabama, where they shot themselves in the foot late, if you go back and change the loss to LSU, where, I don't care, judge away, the referees openly ripped that game away from them down the stretch. Either one of those two becomes a win. The South Carolina Gamecocks are in the playoffs. So I do think there is a sense of confidence, but Shane has also pointed out, we've had good years before. He was at South Carolina 15, whatever it was, years ago when they played for their only SEC title in a year where they beat Tennessee, Alabama, and Georgia all in the same year. He, like, this team has had success on and off. They've just never been able to sustain it. And it does feel like if there is a year to show that they can string good years together, it's this year. What I will say, and I think this is unspoken but known, I think they know what Lenoris Sellers is. They know he's special. They know he can probably be the best quarterback that this franchise, that this program has ever had. And I include some big names in that over the years. But the best quarterback they've ever had. And I do think the pressure is on Shane Beamer in South Carolina with the knowledge, belief, whatever you want to call it, that if they do not accomplish something with Lenoris Sellers, backdoor themselves into a surprise SEC title game or make the playoffs or just accomplish something that you can go bang another successful season with Lenoris Sellers, then if you're a future 4 or 5-star quarterback that South Carolina makes an offer to, and you look and you go, wait a minute, they had Lenoris Sellers, they had a stud, and they could not win with that guy. You put yourself in a spot where future star quarterbacks may not be interested in coming to South Carolina, no matter how much of a stellar dude and players coach Shane Beamer is. So there is a lot of confidence in South Carolina. Offensive line's a question. Run game is a big question. Still waiting to find out if the NCAA is going to give a waiver to Rasul Faison, the guy that transferred from Utah State, or if they're going to be going with, you know, a guy who is probably a third stringer on a lot of other teams. But they know they've got wide receivers this year. They know they've got, even though they lost some talent in guys like Nick Amon-Worry to the league, they know they've got a lot of veteran experience, a lot of 3- and 4-year starters coming back on defense. But I think the pressure is on if you do not, if you get a great year out of Lenoris, but you don't accomplish anything at South Carolina, then a lot of future stars are going to go, I'm not going to win anything there. Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be about me. It's a great culture. Shane Beamer's a really nice guy. But if I want to win something, that's not the school to go to. So there is confidence net and day, but I would also point out, I think there may be a little bit of apprehension, anxiety, whatever word you want to use here, of if we don't get it done this year, it's going to be real hard to continue to convince big names to want to come here.
What is the best playoff model?
I am all in on the 5+11 model. That is my belief. And it's for two reasons. One of which is as a college football fan. One of which is as somebody who covers the SEC. From a college football fan perspective, you leave the door open for everybody. You leave a wider gap in the door for everybody. If you go with the one model I do not like is the 4-4-2-2-1+ model, right? Because if you give 8 of what will be 16 playoff spots, I don't care what anybody says, we're going to 16. There's too much money on the table to turn down. Money drives everything. Yes, even our beloved college football. When we go to 16, if you give half the field to two conferences without the requirement that they prove that they deserve half the field that year, you're also shutting half the field out for the overwhelming majority of college football teams, right? So if you go with that model, I think you kind of limit the ability for other schools to be able to grow under the oppressive thumb of the Big Ten and the SEC. If you go 5+11, from the overall college football perspective, teams that are in the newly formed PAC, whatever they are today, teams that are in the ACC, teams that are in the Big 12, teams that are in the Mountain Valley, the whatever conference, the door's open. And they may have to do a lot more to prove that they deserve to be in over an SEC or Big 10 team that maybe has a loss or two more than they do, but they can do that. They can be impressive. And Ashton Janti of Boise State can get them in. And the question becomes, what if there's two Ashton Jantes at two Boise States and you only have a model that allows one group of five team, but we go, maybe this is the special team, right? Like maybe this is the one that deserves that shot and we'll get it done. You would lock one out. So if you go 5+11, what you're going to get, I think, is more years than you don't. You are going to get 4 SEC teams in. You are going to get 4 Big Ten teams in. But for the SEC, which kind of flips to the other side of this coin for me, I think if you look at last year, if we had a 16-team playoff last year, I think the SEC gets 6 teams in. And so if you're the SEC and your job, your desire is to create a playoff system where you get as many teams in as you can 5 plus 11 guarantees you're getting four. And find me a year where there not be four SEC teams in the top 16, right? You're often getting five. And I think there is the chance, like last year, and I think like this year, where you could get six. So it makes sense to me that the SEC and the Big Ten are fighting, because the SEC is not, or the Big Ten is not 16 deep. It's not getting more than four. The SEC would. And I think that's where that fight comes from. I think the 5 plus 11 is good for everybody who is not the SEC and the Big Ten. I also think the 5 plus 11 is good for the SEC as well.
Yeah, maybe in like 5-10 years when Michigan is back, they might get five in the Big Ten, but it feels like there's a lot of work to be done. Rob, always appreciate it, my friend. It's great to catch up. I'm glad you had fun out there in Atlanta. We'll do this again soon.
Dude, I will be at ACC Media Days next week. I cannot wait to come back and talk about the one team from that conference that matters.
That one team is who I've already picked to win the national championship. So we will definitely talk about that one particular team in orange. Thank you, my friend.
You got it, brother. Love you long time. See you soon, pal.
That is Rob Brown. He is the host of the Rob Brown Show in the Fan, on the Fan upstate in South Carolina. He's also on the BetMGM network on Saturdays from noon to 4 p.m. with Cody Decker. Coming up, we transition back into the NFL. The poll question is up on our Twitter page. If you have not gone and voted for it, please go do so at the Team 980. You can find me on Twitter at the Denton Day. Do you believe that Terry McLaurin will get an extension done by the beginning of training camp? It's a yes or a no poll question. Go vote on that. We will ask Ben Standing that question when we get back. He joins us on the other side. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin on the Team 980.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.